Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Now a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. Tiffany here from Swish, and I want to talk about being a problem solver. In my classroom, I'm always telling my ICFirsties to be problem solvers. In first grade, that's one thing, but in adult life, it's a whole other. It can be really difficult to train your brain to go into a problem-solving mode. Maybe you don't even know where to start. It's a challenge that we all face in life, but when you learn to better help your brain find solutions, it's truly a great feeling. And if you've ever been thinking of giving therapy a try, BetterHelp is a great option. BetterHelp is convenient, it's accessible, it's affordable, and it's all online. And on top of that, they match you with a therapist just by filling out a brief survey. So when you want to be a better problem solver, therapy can get you there. Visit betterhelp.com/swish today to get 10% off your first month. That's better, HELP.com/swish.
Welcome to Swish and Flick, an All Potter podcast.
Swish and Flick, everyone. Swish and Flick.
Hello and welcome to episode 33 of Swish and Flick. I'm Tiffany.
I'm Megan.
I'm Katie.
And I'm Jimmy.
And we would like to give a shout out to Studio, who sent us an awesome pair of wireless headphones. I'm wearing them while we're recording this episode, me being Megan. And I actually am the one who picked out which ones they sent us because they emailed our email and I take care of it. So I was like, ooh, send me the nice, like comfy, plushy ones that are like Beats, basically. But they're like way more comfortable than Beats. Anyway, besides the point, they gave us an awesome code for our listeners to use if they want to order a pair. 15% off at studio.com. Just use the discount code Swish and Flick without any spaces.
Yes.
So thank you, Studio.
Thank you.
This episode is sponsored by Megan Valdez. Megan, thank you.
You've got a good name.
Other
Megan. Do we want to do it?
Mm-hmm. We can do it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That one was a little off.
Yeah,
there was a little off harmony there.
It was me. I started it too weird.
Way to go, okay. Tiffany.
Gosh.
Megan, don't be mad
at
us.
Well, we've got, you know, three more episodes to do today. No, two more. All right. So today we will be, what?
Three, including this one.
I know, but we're already done with this one, so I've got two more chances.
There we go.
Oh, gotcha. What you're saying.
It's too much. Make a hole. All right. Anyways, today we will be discussing chapter 10 of Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets, the Rogue Bludger. So make sure that you have read the chapter and you're ready to dive into the details. But before we begin, let's go to Megan for some weekly profit news. Megan?
She's got nothing.
And she will add some in.
She literally looked at me and goes, oh, I don't have a weekly profit.
Way to update your portion of the doc. Dear listeners, we would like you to send your resume to swishflickcast@gmail.com.
Do you want to edit this bit out?
No, we don't have to. I found one. Okay.
Quit thinking.
This is a really funny story that some people posted on our Facebook group, and actually one of my friends who lives in Michigan tagged me in it. But there was a call to the police station in Michigan.
Oh, yes, yeah. Yes. So many people posted this in the group, too. And I think hilarious.
It says, Michigan police respond to a report of a Harry Potter villain.
Harry Potter villain.
Nearly 7 years after the final movie of the Harry Potter series was released, magic is still strong with Potterheads throughout the country, especially in Michigan, where officers responded to a report of a deadly apparition from the series. Earlier this morning, the Public Safety Department received a call from a concerned citizen who reported seeing a Dementor in Smith Park. This is particularly concerning since everyone knows Muggles can't see Dementors, and because our only officer able to perform the Patronus charm is off duty. Further investigation revealed it to be merely trash.
Trash.
The Ministry of Magic assures us that all Dementors are accounted for at Azkaban. Please help us keep the city beautiful and help trash find its home. And then they posted a picture of a garbage bag in a tree.
It's like blowing in the wind.
It's like billowing.
It's amazing.
Oh my God.
So shout out to the Michigan Police Department because they posted that little blurb. That's like really legitimately.
Funny. And honestly, you guys, in this day and age, when every time I see some news, it's always crap. This is
funny.
Funny. Like, I love, like, the good stories.
And it says here, online Potterheads were quick to respond and share the humorous post. The post has garnered nearly 20,000 shares at the time of writing this article.
Wow. Dude, these responses are so funny.
Can you give me some?
Yes. Nikki Johnson said, just call Professor Lockhart. He's done this hundreds of times. For more details, see his published work.
Somebody else says, your social media manager needs a raise by 394.
Oh!
and then someone else said, how can you only have one officer that can perform the Patronus charm? For the sake of your community, I suggest an intensive training session for your whole department.
So give them more time off. They'll be happier and have better memories.
This is true. Mm,
true. True.
All right.
Awesome last minute thinking there, Meg.
Yeah, I try.
Think on your feet. I apologize for the sound. I'm trying to get my mic level correct because I got a pillow behind my back today. So if you can hear all that, mother you. Okay. She doesn't want to listen to your recap. All right. Is it that time?
Mm-hmm.
It is time for the
recap.
I can't watch her face when she does that because it's so funny.
I hope I look great.
You do. You look beautiful.
You look wonderful.
Guys, Mrs. Norris has been petrified.
Since when?
Since last chapter. We got a little bit of history about the legend of the Chamber of Secrets.
Mm, indeed.
Already?
Already.
In the recap?
Yeah. Somebody.
It's not about pterodactyls.
It's not. It's about Slytherin.
Cats.
It's about Slytherin. Somebody said in the group, they posted an awesome comment that sheds some nice light on Slytherin here.
Is that even possible?
Yes. And they said that what if Slytherin just put the monster in the chamber as a precaution because many years down the road, what if Muggleborns really were evil? And then it was good that he had that in there. If they legitimately were evil, then it's warranted. But obviously they're not. We all know Muggleborns are cool.
Well, let's just say it this way. In any group, there are probably some bad Muggleborns.
Oh, absolutely.
There's also some good pre-bloods. What is wrong with me?
There's somebody's controlling the monster, they can pick out the bad ones. Know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but that's also
according to that person
being on the bad ones.
So Slytherin was just being a precautionary hero.
Oh my God. Okay. It's all about perspective.
With the king of serpents, you know.
Yeah.
You know, just
a gigantic, enormous,
just taking out
terrifying snake.
What about people who change in life? You're just going to take them out as a child and not let them grow and change, perhaps?
Guys,
we're not giving people a chance.
Listen, I'm not agreeing. I'm just throwing another perspective out there.
I also heard a rumor that not only did he have a basilisk down there, but he also had a polydactyl cat.
I heard he also had a little ginger witch.
Can I keep going with my recap?
Yep. Go ahead, Katie. I'll call you Megan.
I was. Look at my dog.
So the trio came up with a plan to use polyjuice potions so they could sneak into the Slytherin common room and question Malfoy about whether or not he is Slytherin's heir.
He's not.
Well,
what?
We don't know.
Why
we ain't there.
Why would you try and spoil stuff?
I'm not spoiling anything. I'm just saying my opinion.
Everybody has read the books. And if not, Dumbledore dies.
Sarah.
Whoa.
Sarah.
There's too much coffee in the girl's system.
But really, though, I had a cold coffee. Now I have a hot coffee.
Mine's cold again.
All right. So the trio gets Lockhart to sign the permission slip to retrieve the book from the restricted section and takes it to Myrtle's bathroom to figure out how to make the potion. Before they know it, the Quidditch game Slytherin versus Gryffindor is here, and it ends with a win and an arm with no bones. While in the hospital wing, Harry gets a visitor and information about what's been happening to him, and it ends with another victim being petrified.
Ooh, who is it? Ooh.
Gosh darn it,
we'll have
guys.
To read and find out.
This is getting serious.
It's been serious black. I love it.
Since book five.
Book three.
I was going to say, in my heart from jump.
Since 1960.
I have a feeling about the episode.
Since before I was born.
Lockhart.
Yeah, so how about that?
Lockhart.
All right.
Who's Harry Potter?
I don't know.
You're going to have to listen to a Felix Bow. Okay. So since the pixie incident, Lockhart hasn't brought any new creatures into the classroom.
Big
but
surprise.
But that's not what the doc says. And he basically, during class, just reads from his books and acts out certain scenes. And he makes Harry help him act out the scenes.
Certain eens?
Yeah. But, you know, you see how I, like, gloss over it like a good person would, not bring it up.
Two hands make a hole, Tiffany.
And so Harry once played a Transylvanian villager whom Lockhart saved from a Yeti. Shout out to Yetis. Because I love Yetis.
The cup or the animal?
I do have a Yeti in the basement.
Shout out to Expedition Everest.
Okay, yes.
All right. Yeah. I don't know what that means, but let's go.
You can visit the Yeti. In Orlando, Florida.
Me. Oh, okay.
It's scary.
Like, I want to go to Everest. People die on Everest.
That's true.
Anyways. Who gave him a babbling curse, as well as a vampire that couldn't eat anything but lettuce, which is basically Megan.
Jeez, I would
that
die.
That would be a torture for her, right?
I would literally die of starvation.
And also a werewolf. Yes.
Can we talk about the importance of punctuation? Because I want you to read that last bit
no,
again.
No, I don't want to read
it's
it.
It's so funny, though. It made me laugh.
Listen, I was rushing yesterday.
It
and
made me laugh so much.
No. Y'all,
the vampire couldn't eat anything but lettuce and a werewolf.
Don't look at my section of the doc because I don't punctuate anything.
Yeah. Let's keep pointing fingers at Tiffany.
It's so funny.
You're funny.
Thank you.
Whatever. All right, so I thought I'd read a little bit from the chapter with...
Yeah, you will.
The what? With the werewolf and Lockhart. So
with
he
the
says,
werewolf?
Good luck editing today.
Edit this.
Nice loud howl, Harry. Exactly. And then, if you believe it, I pounced like this. Slammed him onto the floor. Thus, with one hand, I managed to hold him down. With my other, I put my wand to his throat. And then I screwed up my remaining strength and performed the immensely complex... What is that?
Homorphagus?
Homorphous? Mm-hmm. There's no G in there. Charm. Fozzie growled. I hope you can hear it, but probably not. That was quiet. And then he let out a piteous moan. Go on, Harry. Higher than that.
Oh!
Good. The fur vanished, the fangs shrank, and then he turned back into a man. Simple yet effective. And another village will remember me forever as the hero who delivered them from the monthly terror of a werewolf attacks. He is such a douche. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. He's crazy. Anyways. And the homework that Lockhart gave them was to compose a poem about the Wagga Wagga werewolf. A poem.
Okay. That's clearly contributing to your magical education.
I mean, I get that that might be a fun way to, like, give homework assignment, but...
But he just wants new ways to read about himself, so... Yeah.
That's true. I don't think they're actually...
You know who would be good at this? Beverly.
Beverly. Shout out to Beverly.
Shout out to Beverly!
Beverly, please write us a poem about the Wagga Wagga werewolf.
Yes.
And so the trio has devised a plan to get the book that they need for the Polyjuice Potion, a book from the restricted section of the library. Isn't it Most Potent Potions?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And so they waited until after class, after everyone had left, and Hermione was going to go ask him to sign it. And she says it would help her understand more of gadding with ghouls about slow-acting venoms. And he is so thick that he just signs it without even looking at what
he just wanted to sign his name.
Because he brought out his fancy pen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he calls her, like, the best student of the year. And Hermione basically, like, dies when he says that. And so I just wanted to read this little blip. Oh, wait, no. Oh, yeah, no, I wanted to read this, sorry. Because it's on Quidditch, which is a little different. So he says, "So Harry," said Lockhart, while Hermione folded the note with fumbling fingers and slipped it into her bag. "Tomorrow's the first Quidditch match of the season, I believe. Gryffindor against Slytherin, is it not? I hear you're a useful player." I hear you're a useful player. "I was a seeker, too. I was asked to try out for the national squad, but preferred to dedicate my life to the eradication of the dark forces. Still, if you ever feel the need for a little private training, don't hesitate to ask. Always happy to pass on my expertise to the less able players."
God, he's so annoying.
What if Harry took him up on that offer, though? Because I feel like it would have been hilarious.
I agree.
Oh, my God.
He probably can't.
Does he even know how to get on a broom?
Right? I just feel like he would really not be good at flying.
He'd be like, oops, this broom is a little temperamental.
You know what? I just don't have time to help you today, Harry.
Or, yeah. Ooh, I just pulled my hammy. I can't get on a broom.
You know, when I was fighting the Wagga Wagga werewolf, I pulled something and, like, I just can't.
Old injury. Flare out. <Yeah. laughs>
Pregnancy hotness is happening right now.
Yeah, it is.
All right. And so Ron calls him a brainless git for not even looking at the book that they wanted to get. And honestly, he's 100% correct.
Yeah.
And Hermione defends him, and it says, quote, shrilly, which I think she's just so determined to, like, think this guy is legit.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think in her heart of hearts, like, she knows, like, he's not?
I don't know.
I think she's probably blinded by her love for, like, him right now.
Correct.
By her crush.
I don't think she's accepted that he's not all who he seems he is. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get that.
Agreed.
She isn't.
All right. And so after they get the note signed by Lockhart, the trio heads to the library at a half run. They are, like, super eager to get this started. And so they give the note to Madame Pince. She takes it and is super suspicious at once because of the book title. And it's also, I thought of this. I was like, it's written from the Defense Against the Dark Arts professor and not the Potions Master. Which I wonder if she was, like, questioning that at all in her suspicion.
I'm sure.
I feel like if they would have put, like, Hogwarts of History on there. Or I guess you don't need a note for that. Well, maybe she's suspicious just because it was the restricted section. Well, but maybe, I feel like she clings to her books anyway.
Maybe she's also suspicious because she's like, it's an odd thing, and then you're asking Lockhart, like, the one that's gonna,
yeah,
doesn't know anything. You know what I mean?
So I just thought that was kind of interesting. And as she's trying to take the note from Hermione, Hermione wants to keep it, and she's, like, got, like, a death grip on this note. And Ron wrenches it from her hand, gives it to Madame Pince. And I said, jealous much, jelly much, Ronald? And he said, Lockhart will sign anything if it stands still long enough.
Truth.
Oh, my God. And so as Madame Pince has the note, she holds it up to the light to make sure it's not forged. She goes and gets the book. And when she returns, she holds a large and moldy-looking book.
Gross.
How old do we think this book is? I mean,
1 million years old.
I mean, I would honestly, like,
hundreds for
hundreds,
sure.
Yeah, for sure. Like, maybe 500-600 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. And really, how many people are looking at it? So it's just sitting there, getting moldy.
Sitting there.
It's probably got stuff spilled on it from, like, previous people getting it out, trying to make these potions.
I mean, it's moldy, so there was some kind of moisture on it to create that.
I wonder if there's, like, if they have, like, a spell against moisture in the
Well, they have that spell library for the glasses, so maybe.
No,
maybe,
I mean, like to just the all the time.
Well, maybe it was invented after this book got into people's hands.
No, like, when you take it out of the library. And then when you go back, you know what I mean? I don't know.
Protect it when it's not in the library.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, maybe the older books didn't have that on them before they were, like, ruined a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And now they can't get any more ruined because the spell's there. Okay. I've had a coffee. Back in Myrtle's bathroom, or we like to call Lair, and by we, I mean me. Y'all like that term?
I like it.
Okay, cool. Ron really tried to object meeting there, but it's literally, like, the only safe place. Like, they don't know about the room yet, the room of requirement yet, to go there, which would have been great because then you wouldn't have had Myrtle, but then you wouldn't have known
about the entrance to the chamber.
It would have been all crazy, so it's fate. And it's the last place that anyone would think to look because of Myrtle, because she's so
unlike.
She's so pleasant to be around.
She's super pleasant. And I just thought, I just wanted to make a note of this, because this struck me as, like, really awkward and sad. Myrtle was in the bathroom crying, and she was ignoring them, and the trio was also ignoring her. So they were like, just let her cry.
Yeah, that's sad.
Just let her cry in the back.
Do you think all she does is cry?
Probably.
90% of the time.
Yeah. And so they're looking over the damp, spotted pages of the book, and they read over some of the potions, and their effects were too gruesome to even think about. There were unpleasant illustrations, like a man turned inside out.
Ugh.
And a witch with several extra arms coming out of her head.
I got an arm in my head, but don't call me an arm head.
I can't. And so when they got to the Polyjuice potion, there were many drawings of people like halfway through transforming. Go ahead.
I was going to say, because this makes me think of, if anyone has that book art of, is it Harry Potter?
Oh, yeah, you showed this to me.
And there's a picture in it. I should have brought the book with me. I'm like, I won't need it. I forget what page it's on, but they have like an illustration of Mad-Eye Moody turning back into Barty Crouch. Mm-hmm. And like really looking good at that picture, it's like, it looks painful.
It looks super painful. But I mean, how painful is it? Because I mean, they all went through it like with the Seven Potters and stuff. Yeah. What are you laughing? Oh, is your mouth full? What are you laughing about?
Open her head.
Oh. You're so weird.
Yeah.
She's got a clementine on her head.
But don't call her a clementine head. A citrus head would be a better. But don't call me a citrus head.
All right.
Oh my God.
It's if you guys have the book or if you can see it, it's a really cool illustration to look at. It kind of gives you more of like more than
perspective. Something
you see. Yeah, a different perspective to think about how the transformation happens.
Mm-hmm. It's really weird looking.
Yeah, it looks.
It like so like I always envision that transforming into a werewolf is like super painful. Mm-hmm. But I've never gotten the impression that like Polyjuice potion is painful, especially. Yeah. Because, like, Harry and Ron don't really seem to
go through. They don't. It
like, they say that they can, like, feel things like moving and bubbling, but but that illustration makes it look really painful.
Maybe it's just because of, like, I don't know. Maybe it just looks painful because of the facial expression.
I know it's not pleasant to drink.
Right. I don't know. So I know Sarah brought this up in the previous episode that we had, so I just wanted to touch on it briefly. There is a short article on Pottermore about Polyjuice Potion. It's complex and time-consuming concoction, best left to highly skilled witches and wizards. So that's a shout-out to Hermione's skills. And it enables the consumer to assume the physical appearance of another person. You can use part of the individual's body in the brew, like toenail clippings, dandruff, or worse. Or worse.
I wonder if that potentially is what changes the potency of it. What you
if you
use.
Take like someone's finger or something like that,
right?
Like,
then it lasts longer.
Now I wonder.
Ooh.
Say you were to kill someone, right? And you're trying to take over their identity for a while for whatever reason. Or
this is going
to
get gross.
I wonder. No, I just wonder how long like you can use like their body parts to keep.
Well, if you think about it, all you need is one single piece of hair.
I know, but, like, what if you want to do it for a significant period of time?
Right.
You got a lot of hairs there.
Well, not even just hairs, but, like, what if you're using, what if they're bald? Well, there's no hair on their body, so you have to use.
I said this is going to get gross,
and you're like, guys.
No, it's not. No, you're chopping up bodies.
But, like, well, if you're going to use their flesh, well, flesh only stays.
Freezer.
I don't want to say good for so long. But
Tiffany.
Magic. I wonder if, like, I bet you there's, like, a way to, like, magically
preserve.
Yeah, but, like, I wonder.
Because Dumbledore was preserved really well when he was in his tomb, so maybe they
but
would
I
do
wonder,
that. Why are we talking about this?
It's just a thought I had.
So gross.
It is gross.
Like, what if you can use decomposing flesh, are they going to look like that?
I don't know.
Did the person have to be alive?
That's what I'm wondering. Because.
I bet not.
Honestly, but why wouldn't Barty Crouch Jr. keep Mad-Eye? What, like, why did he keep
like,
Mad-Eye
keep
alive?
Him alive?
He didn't need to keep him
but
alive.
But
maybe he had to because of the Polyjuice potion.
This is true.
So maybe you do have to remain alive.
Because, like, if you're turning into them, if they're dead, would you turn into a dead person?
Oh. I don't think so.
Or, like, what if you're, like,
Because, let's like, what say, if, like, you have someone's hair but and they, if, like, passed away a really long time ago and you're like, I'm going to turn into but them.
Like, what say if, like,
years down the road, you know?
Crazy thought. What if zombies were real and you took a hair from a zombie, would you turn into a zombie?
Or would you turn into them? Like, the person they were before they were a zombie? But their chemical
makeup has changed if they're a zombie, right? So wouldn't the body part?
I don't know.
Well, I think so. Because if they're biting you and stuff like that. But
what if you just take a hair? So like, what if,
I feel like you would turn into who that person was before they were a zombie. Oh,
see, I feel like you would turn into a zombie.
I kind of agree with
Tiffany. Because I feel like your whole chemical makeup has changed, I feel like.
But it doesn't change your DNA.
It might.
Does it?
I don't know. So what if that's the zombie expert?
Rick Grimes.
Hey, you watch Walking Dead. Let's say you, Katie.
But like, I have no idea.
Let's say it's March 1st. You're a normal human being. March 2nd, you're a zombie. We take hair off your head March 2nd. You're now a zombie, but it's like you've only been a zombie for like 12 hours.
But what if you haven't like changed over yet? Because you know how What's-His-Face from Walking Dead was bit but hadn't changed yet. Yeah. Like he was...
Don't name any names in case people aren't watching. Haven't caught up.
I don't watch it, and I knew that from internet.
Well, I know, but still.
Don't go onto Twitter or listen to this podcast.
No, we're not going to say it.
I don't even know his name.
I want to hear everybody else's opinions. Like, what do you guys think?
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Do you have to be alive to be turned, like, to be able to become a...
Let's lightning bolt it. I say, in order for Polyjuice Potion to be active and work, I would say yes, based on Barty Crouch Jr. and Mad-Eye. So...
I don't think that you need to be alive. And I think that if you take hair out of a zombie, you just turn into the person.
Okay. Mm.
I think if you're alive, it works better.
Okay.
That's a good thought.
What about zombie stuff? What do you think about that?
I'm going to kind of go with my same answer. Like, you'll still be that person, but maybe, like, not as great.
Mm. What do you mean?
Like, you won't be a zombie, but you're not going to be, like, quite
like as... in between they were kind in their, thing. Like,
own health. Yeah, it wouldn't be as great.
You'd be, like, like, unhealthy or something like
something,
that.
Something, yeah.
Okay. Sarah?
I just tried to look up if there was anything about zombies on Pottermore.
Is there?
No.
See, but that's... There are zombies in the story. Like, come on, Pottermore, let's go.
Well, they're called something different, though. They're in theory. That's basically what a zombie is.
This is like a whole Felix Files episode we could be doing.
I mean, it's... We said we wanted to get more sweaty. In my shirt.
But this is an inferi. The plural is inferi, and inferius is the singular. Is a corpse that has been reanimated by a dark wizard's curse.
Well, so I mean, a zombie is reanimated by a curse.
But they're already dead, though.
Well, so are
I know, but like
inferi.
Yeah, but like it becomes a grisly puppet. Where a zombie, I don't know if you're a puppet.
You're a puppet to the disease. I don't know.
A grizzly puppet. I don't
know. We are all infected. All
right.
Things to think about. I don't know. Oh, it does say.
Maybe we should.
This is J.K. Rowling's thoughts on it. Inferi have much in common with zombies, which are mentioned as separate creatures within Harry's world. Yeah. I've had several good reasons for not wishing to call the Guardians of the Locket Horcrux zombies. Firstly, zombies are not part of British folklore, but associated with the myths of Haiti and parts of Africa. Mm. While the students of Hogwarts would learn about them, they would not expect to meet them walking down the streets of Hogsmeade. Secondly, while zombies of the voodoo tradition can be nothing more than reanimated corpses, a separate but related tradition has it that the sorcerer uses their souls or part of their souls to sustain himself. This conflicted with my Horcrux story, and I did not wish to suggest that Voldemort had any more use for his Inferi than guards, as guards of his Horcrux. Lastly, zombies have been represented and interpreted on film so often in the last 50 years that they have a whole raft of associations that were of no use to me. I'm part of the thriller generation. To me, a zombie will always mean Michael Jackson in a bright red bomber jacket. It says the name Inferius was a play on the word inferus, which is Latin for below, but with an obvious connotation of being lesser than a human, a living human. Inferi means the underworld. So that's a good...
I mean, that was good.
Yeah.
But that, I mean, that's just a little bit on zombies.
Right.
Totally
I'm
off
topic.
I'm glad
there was something.
Yes.
But, you know, we're going with this a little bit. It's
so,
fine.
Guys, tell us what you guys think. If you can use a Polyjuice potion. Even on vampires and stuff. Like, and werewolves. Can you... What if it's, like, the full moon? Mm-hmm. And you take it?
I don't know. These are all
then
legitimate
Then you transform,
questions.
I bet.
These are, like...
Okay, well, then that plays in favor of what Tiffany and Sarah were saying, because your chemical makeup is different.
Amen.
So...
I want to hear what you guys have to think.
Yes.
Have to say, not have to think. Well, both.
Maybe it's different if you were born a werewolf as opposed to became a werewolf as a bite. So, like, if you were bit and you became a werewolf, you would just turn into the person. But if you were born a werewolf...
Well, like, Teddy
could have been a werewolf, technically, but he didn't get it. So, like, if Teddy had been born a werewolf, then he could have, probably, when you get...
How painful would that be for a little baby?
There's Wolfsbane potion for that.
I know, but like,
still be painful.
Can babies eat that? I mean, drink it?
I think that we would be Joe Rowling's worst nightmare if we ever had to sit down with her and ask her these questions.
Like, Jesus Christ.
I quit.
The cat was hooked on the thing. She goes, it was a spell. It was magic.
Sorry, no.
But Joe, what about zombies?
All right, let's jump back into this. So there's a short fact file on Polyjuice Potion. It's a potion. gives the drinker the appearance of someone else and says something that would spoil the story for you, so I'm not going to read it.
Ooh.
All right, moving back in. And so I thought I'd go over some of the ingredients for the Polyjuice Potion. Lacewing flies, leeches, fluxweed, knotgrass, powdered horn of a bicorn, shredded skin of boomslang, and a bit of someone. So I pulled up a couple of the ingredients. Boomslang skin, it says, is the shed from a boomslang snake. The skin is mostly green in males and brown. Sure. In females. And it's used in the Polyjuice Potion. And that's on the Harry Potter wiki. And then also a bicorn. It says, bicorns are dangerous cow-like creatures. At least one of its two horns are required in an ingredient for Polyjuice Potion.
Like a bison, but a bicorn?
Perhaps. And their horns are shed annually and then gathered when the bicorn is not looking.
Oh, well, that's really nice
and
that,
that's a
like,
mythology
it doesn't
thing, it
seem
says.
It doesn't seem like they're, like, farmed, you know?
Yeah, they don't get hurt by it. Yeah, because it's a usual... It's like deer
like,
losing
yeah,
their
like,
antlers.
Unlike rhinos or something, you know, where, like, they're, yeah, sad.
Or elephants.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if you do that and hunt those creatures, don't listen to our podcast.
But literally, though.
Yeah, because we don't like you. All right, so, but I just thought that was interesting information on those two ingredients. And so, Ron and Harry are both very worried about this, which has kind of struck me as interesting because...
Yeah, but, like, the roles are kind of reversed.
They are, and they're absolutely reversed in this chapter. So, Harry says he's worried about having to steal all of the ingredients. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I can understand why. Like, really, Hermione's the one that's most affected by all this because she's a muggle-born... Ron's a pure blood, and Harry's a half-blood.
This is true.
It makes a lot of sense.
And so she must be, like, deep down, she must be having serious anxiety about what's going on. I mean...
I think that, like, she... Because she puts on a brave face, you know what I mean? I'm sure
she's the Gryffindor.
Yeah.
She probably has always been, like, a studier and everything, but I think that, like, a part of her is, like, I have to do so well because I have to prove myself because I am a muggle-born.
Yeah. Well, I just let me read exactly what she says in the chapter. So when they're like questioning this and saying like, oh, my gosh, how are we going to do this? What are we going to do to break into Snape's private stores? And she snaps the book shut and says, well, if you two are going to chicken out, fine. She said there were bright pink patches on her cheeks and her eyes were brighter than usual. I don't want to break the rules, you know. I think threatening muggleborns is far worse than brewing up a difficult potion. But if you don't want to find out if it's Malfoy, I'll go straight to Madame Pince now and hand the book back in.
Yeah. Go Hermione.
Girl power, girlfriend. Seriously. And so they determine that it will be ready in about a month. And
a
Ron,
month?
Right. And Ron basically is just like, just knock Malfoy off his broom and we can just, you know, get this done.
What do they say in the movie? They're like, a month, like half the Muggleborns and
something by then.
Be attacked, I think.
No, yeah. He says something real Ronnie.
Yeah. Ronnie.
Anyway, so that be that of the red.
So do you think that Harry is going to knock Malfoy off of his broom now?
Well, I guess we'll find out.
Okay, so we would like to give another shout out to Studio, who sent us awesome wireless headphones. They sent us the Regent headphones in white, and they're basically like Beats, but they are more comfortable, in our opinion at least. Yeah. So if anybody is interested in getting a pair, they were able to give us a discount code for our listeners to give you 15% off any purchase on their website. And it is studio.com. We're also going to put a link in our show notes. So just go down to that link and click it. And then you can add the discount code Swish and Flick with no spaces, all caps, Swish and Flick. Studio wants to revolutionize the way people see headphones. It's not just a tech device, but also an accessory. So currently, the headphone market can offer you one of two things, style or tech. Fashionable headphones tend to lack the proper sound quality, and high-tech variations are bulky and not design-oriented. Studio wants to bridge that gap. While emphasizing their modern Scandinavian design, they also provide a product that matches the quality of even the highest-rated headphones on the market for a fraction of the cost. They also provide free worldwide shipping. So head on over to studio.com and make sure to use the discount code Swish and Flick to receive 15% off any purchase.
Literally, though, they're so more comfortable than my Beats. So they can brain them in little ears.
Good sound quality, too. Mm-hmm. I actually heard something in a song I've heard a million times today that I haven't heard before in another pair of headphones, so
there you go.
It was nice and clear.
All right, welcome back to the episode. So we are on the Quidditch match now. As we know, Ron asked Harry to just knock Malfoy off of his broom during the match.
The world would be different.
No cursed child. So,
no five books.
No.
Oh, no, no. That would still happen. Never mind. I was thinking Harry was the one that was getting knocked off of his broom.
Harry knocked himself off.
So this is a big match, right? Like, this is like the match of the year. Gryffindor versus Slytherin. So the Gryffindor Quidditch team is super nervous at breakfast. They look all uptight. They're not talking a lot. You guys know that feeling.
Do I?
Maybe not for like a Quidditch match, but other things. It says that Harry had never wanted to beat Slytherin so badly. So we get some of Wood's pep talks that he likes to give. And he says, Slytherin has better brooms than us. There's no point in denying it, but we've got better people on our brooms. He says it'll be down to Harry to show them that. Seeker has to have something more than a rich father.
Whoa.
Ouch.
So get to that snitch before Malfoy or die trying, Harry, because you've got to win today. Oh, we've got to win today. We've got to. To which Fred adds, so no pressure, Harry. It's very Fred. Mm-hmm. Fredism.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. Fredism. So Ravenclaw and Hufflepuff are also cheering for Gryffindor. This seems to be common.
What do they say about Slytherins?
We're misunderstood.
We're
I don't have an excuse for this.
Blame it on Salazar. He started it all.
Seriously.
Blame it on that.
I can't even. I was gonna be like, blame it on the alcohol. Blame it on the Slytherin.
Episode title.
So the match starts, and almost immediately Harry notices that one of the bludgers just like will not leave him alone.
It's gonna be terrifying.
Yeah, really would those be, because those things are like stone hard.
Yeah.
I mean,
stone hard. Not rock hard, but stone hard.
You know, I like to make up my own phrases.
I love you, Megan.
It's a quote, and the quote from the book is, "Bludgers never concentrated on one player like this. It was their job to try and unseat as many people as possible." So it was, like, very obvious and very noticeable that it was, like, clearly going to Harry for some reason. And Fred and George were trying to help him out. They kept, like, trying to bat it away. But no matter what they did, it would just, like, fly.
Yeah. Just slid through the air.
Like magic.
It was just like,
I love magic.
Fly right back to Harry. And because of this, like, Fred and George couldn't focus on the match. They were just focusing on trying to keep Harry, like, safe alive. And yeah. alive. Mm-hmm. That Slytherin was now up 60-0.
Jeez.
So clearly, like, the Gryffindors are not focused on the game. They're focused on this stupid bludger that just keeps trying to go at Harry. And Harry mm-hmm. couldn't see anything because it was raining already. And Fred and George are flying all around him. And he's like, listen, guys, you need to leave me alone. Otherwise, I'm never going to have a chance to catch the Snitch. Mm-hmm. Like, he can't focus on looking for the Snitch. Yep. And, you know, he's not going to let Malfoy win.
He can't even, like, see around Fred and George because they're, like...
they're probably just, like, surrounding him.
He would never be able to... Like, because when I picture them flying in the air, I picture them, like, circling Harry, and Harry's not going to be able to see mm-hmm. yeah. anything else but them.
On top of, like, rain-spattered glasses.
Exactly. Yeah.
And this part, I don't really understand. Because, okay. So Fred calls to Wood to, you know, have a timeout.
Right.
Well, George does, whatever. They're mm-hmm. like, Fred is trying to, like, get the bludger away from him. George signals Oliver Wood to... oh my God, I keep, like, stuttering.
It's all right.
You're good.
It's the podcast.
He signals to Wood for a timeout, and then the team is, like, arguing about whether or not to ask for an inquiry. Like, why would you not? It's so obvious and clear that this bludger is going at
because
him.
Because if they do, then that's forfeiting the game, and Slytherin would win.
But I also don't understand
that. But if it's a true inquiry, then it should void that game.
And Madame Hooch should have noticed something was off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because bludgers aren't designed to do that. And so, girlfriend, where you at?
It's, where are your little yellow eyes really at? Why aren't right. they watching oh. that bludger? Thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry. This was probably touching it.
Thank there you.
It
but that's how J.K. Rowling wrote it, so...
get out.
I know. It's just... It just is like...
But maybe they just wanted to get the game over with. You know what I mean? Like,
but how can they whenever Harry can't even look for the did. Snitch?
Spoiler alert.
Well, still...
I think that's a test.
So they have a timeout. Fine. They argue amongst each other. And Fred, George, and Alicia think that Oliver is crazy to let Harry continue because it's so obvious that this thing is, like, trying to kill him almost.
Yep.
But then Harry just demands that everyone leave him alone and he'll figure it out, of course, which is a very Harry thing to do. Mm. And Wood is like, yeah, listen to Harry. So.
But it shows you how good of a flyer he is. That
definitely.
He beats it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I think that that's an insane rule in Quidditch that it's so clear there's something up. And if you ask for an inquiry, oh, well, you're forfeiting and you lose the game. What?
But I guess, like, they have to put that rule in because they could, like, be like, I want an inquiry about this and this and this and this. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I think that there should be, like, some sort of...
It should be, like, an after thing.
Right. So, like, at this moment, the game is forfeit. Nobody wins until the inquiry is dealt with. If it's true... then maybe it's a rematch. And if it's false, then Slytherin wins. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but what if it... So, say something's going down. I can't even think of, like, an example. And they want an inquiry, right? But they still play the game, and whoever wins, whatever. Now, say if the team that the inquiry is against, they prove that, like, they were being shady, their point should automatically go to the other team. And they would get the L on their card.
Like basketball. I mean, if you compare it to basketball, you know, if there's, like, a technical foul or something, it stops the game. And okay, here's another thing. Why is there no such thing as, like, a replay here? Like, there's got to be a way, like, cast a spell or something to have a little replay thing come up so that they can see what's going on and make sure no one's lying.
Yeah, I agree.
It seems very bizarre.
Yes.
Agreed. It's a very intense sport.
It is.
That Quidditch.
You want a little snacky snack.
You have Snaggy Snack.
I want another one.
So weird.
Can I have an Airhead?
Sarah? Let's.
So, let's more Quidditch.
Let's get this episode.
I just really need one.
So they decide that Harry is going to keep playing, and the rain starts falling even heavier. So Harry had to loop, swoop, spiral,
and
zigzag, and keep ahead of the bludger.
So like a bop it?
Yeah.
No, like how you tie your shoes.
And somehow, through all of this and the rain, he notices the Golden Snitch hovering by Malfoy, right by his ear, but Malfoy's too busy laughing at Harry and saying that he's... You guys are distracting.
I'm sorry.
Saying that he's training for the ballet to notice that the snitch is right by him.
Training for the ballet, pa.
Such a loser.
You're a great seeker, Malfoy.
Oh, jeez.
But wham!
Bam!
The bludger...
Thank you, ma'am.
The bludger smacks into Harry's elbow, snaps his arm. Mm. And yet, what does Harry do? Just thinks, get to Malfoy, zooms right to him.
At Gryffindor.
Let's go of the broom with his good arm, catches the snitch, falls into the mud. Pretty spectacular.
Gryffindor wins!
And what does Harry say? Aha, we've won. And he faints.
I love that. I love that.
And then he wakes up to Lockhart over him and Colin snapping pictures. And the first thing he says is, oh no, not you.
Doesn't it say he wakes up to like glittering teeth?
Yes, yes.
Glittering teeth in his face.
And Harry mentions that he would rather keep his arm broken than have Lockhart fix it.
I don't blame him.
That's pretty sad.
I mean, he knows what's up. Mm-hmm. Boyfriend is not going to certain magic.
No. But,
any magic.
Well, no, that's not true.
I guess that is true.
Lockhart doesn't mend his arm. He completely removes all bones.
It's like deboning a chicken.
But with magic.
And a human.
Okay, Tiffany. All right.
What?
So I liked how it was described. It says a strange and unpleasant sensation started at Harry's shoulder and spread all the way down to his fingertips. It felt as though his arm was being deflated. And then when he finally gets up, he feels all like one-sided and weird. And he finally looks down and it says poking out of the end of his robes was what looked like a thick flesh-colored rubber glove.
Gross.
And this makes me think of like, have you ever woken up in the middle of the night and you have no blood in your arm?
Yes,
it's so scary because I can't. Oh, you do talk
about
it?
You do? Okay. Oh my gosh.
Then I won't even get into it. But I hate it. I hate that feeling.
It's happened to me a few times.
Oh, it happens like, to me all the
I'll
time.
I'll sleep with my arms over my head.
I'll do it under my pillow.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes both of them are like,
mm-hmm. And then you're like, you're like dead.
You're literally just like a torso trying to flop
on
the side of the bed.
Yeah.
I hate it.
Ooh. All right.
And also looking at this scene, like in the movie, and when he like bends his arm, it grosses me out every time.
All right.
And Lockhart's like, well, it's not broken.
Which is true.
Yep. To his credit.
Check out the Something Epic for Kids podcast. Ainsley and Elizabeth are both 10 years old. They are cousins and best friends, and they have been creating their own podcast just for kids since they were 7 years old. If you are a kid and your parents are listening to a boring podcast, surely not Swish and Flick, tune in to the Something Epic for Kids podcast. The girls talk about fashion tips, friendship advice, stuff they learned in school, things that are annoying, and most of all, the epicest topics they know about. Tune in and talk back. They love to hear from listeners. Email them at somethingepicforkids@gmail.com and find the podcast on iTunes, Something Epic for Kids with Ainsley and Elizabeth.
All right, so Ron and Hermione take Harry to Madame Pomfrey in hopes that she can grow back Harry's bones. Harry's in for a rough night. Mending bones is easy, but growing them back will be painful. Mm. He'll have to stay the night. So Ron and Harry try to convince Hermione while they're getting him into some pajamas that Lockhart isn't a good professor and is basically not good with anything, spells-wise. But Hermione asks Harry if his arm still hurts, and he reluctantly says no. So she's like, well, your arm doesn't hurt. So Pomfrey gives Harry Skellogrow, telling Harry he's in for a rough night. It burns Harry's mouth and throat, making him cough and splutter.
Splutter or sputter?
It says splutter.
It says splutter?
Mm-hmm, that's what the book says.
Splutter.
Hermione. Pomfrey leaves while muttering about dangerous sports and inept teachers. It kind of shows you how she really feels.
I know, so, like, I like that.
I wonder, like, how many students she sees every year with injuries from Quidditch, so she's probably, like, over it. And even how many students she may have seen this year because of Lockhart trying to help and really just being unhelpful.
Mm.
Something to think about.
Also, when we were watching, Sarah and I watched this movie yesterday, and we were talking about how cool the Skellogrow bottle is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know I'm obsessed with skeletons. So.
Yes.
And she doesn't seem to be worried about talking about her opinions in front of the students. things to think about. So we hear how Gryffindor wins, and not only did Malfoy look ready to kill when he realized Harry caught the snitch, but the rest of the team comes in and tells him that Flint was yelling at Malfoy about letting the snitch go because it was right above his head. they brought a bunch of snacks with them, and they were just about to get settled into the hospital wing to have a party type thing, but Pomfrey's like, nah, y'all gotta get out. And Harry needs his rest because he has to regrow 33 bones. So this had me thinking, which bones did he lose? Because I was counting.
Oh, geez.
So
here we go.
Real. No, because I want to know. So in your hand, so you've got your carpals, which is essentially your wrist. There's 8 carpal bones. Then your palm of your hand is your metacarpals. That's 5 bones. And then your phalanges, which are your fingers, there's 14. So total in your hand, wrist, palm, fingers, that's 14 bones. Your radius in your ulna, which is your forearm, 2 bones. You have your humerus, your scalp, I'm thinking scapula, which is your shoulder blade. Mm-hmm. And then possibly your clavicle. That's 32 bones. So what other bone did he get magically taken out to make 33? Like, I don't know. What do you guys, yes?
His funny bone.
That's not a thing.
In it Wizarding
is
World,
in
it
Wizarding
is.
Wizarding World.
It is now, Sarah.
I mean, when you hit your funny bone, it's really just a nerve that's connected to your humor.
Sarah, I was making a joke. I was trying to be funny about the funny bone. You ruined it.
I'm letting other people know if they didn't know that. But it was like, because I was watching this yesterday. And
I don't know bones. I don't give no bones about it.
Tiffany and I were sitting there working, like, we were working on the podcast together. And
which we should
together,
never do again.
Like, separately, but together. And I, like, kept wanting to have this conversation. I'm like, I can't. We had to save it for the podcast. Because I literally was like, I don't understand what 33 bones he would be missing. It makes no sense to me. What other bone?
Dear Joe. No, but I would love to help you, but I know nothing of that.
Because I don't know. Because I even looked up, like, arm and shoulder.
The head, arm bones connected to the
head, shoulders, knees and toes, knees and toes.
Tiffany doesn't know the words.
What are the words? I don't know.
What were you saying?
I don't know. What are the words to that? See, you don't even
what
know.
What is it, like the arm bones Miss connected to the shoulder bone? I don't know.
Eat my airheads.
It should be purple. I had cherry and blue raspberry.
Let me see.
No. It is kind of purple.
It's kind of black. Like your soul.
So let's go.
It's
let's,
like the soul of a
let's
Slytherin.
Let's get down to the bones of the issue.
Give me the bones.
I just want to... I don't know. What other bone could he have missed? Because I'm trying to think, like... There's nothing
Sarah,
else it's connected to.
It's the funny bone.
Thank you, wife.
I don't
it's
agree.
It's the funny bone.
I don't know.
I don't agree.
I'm sorry. I don't know things.
Okay. I mean, I don't know. Because the head of the humerus is connected. Like, it goes, it articulates with the scapula.
Dear anatomy friends.
Yeah.
What say
guys,
you?
What do you think?
What say you,
unless
pious.
He's got an extra carpal or metacarpal, or maybe he's got an extra finger. His thumb is really long.
Ooh. Why was that so funny?
It's not that funny. But that is where that's from.
It was hilarious.
I didn't even hear it, so.
It's 3 times you've given that creepy voice today.
All right, so hours later.
I know.
3.
Oof.
Hours later, Harry wakes up in pitch blackness, and his arm feels like it's full of splinters.
Ugh.
And I said, I wonder if it feels like when your arm falls asleep and you're getting feeling back into it. I know, like, when it happens to me, because
it happens sometimes frequently.
Sometimes it's really painful.
The other day, I couldn't move my leg because it hurt so bad. And
my foot fell asleep the other day, and I was limping throughout the house.
Yes.
I hate this feeling.
It's the worst.
Yeah, it's horrible. In horror, he realizes that someone is sponging his forehead in the dark. He realizes it's Dobby, and
he asks
Harry why
he
didn't
should
go
be.
Home.
He's the reason he's in there.
Yeah, well,
we don't know
bad.
That yet, Megan.
I just spoiled it.
So he realizes it's Dobby. He asks Harry why he didn't go home when he missed the train, and we find out that Dobby's the reason that Harry and Ron couldn't get through the barrier at Platform 9 and 3/4.
Platform 9 3/4.
It was coming.
Think you're being funny, do you?
It's the same every year, packed with muggles, of course.
So he was hiding and watching Harry, and after the parents went in, he sealed the gateway, and then he ironed his hands because I guess he felt bad.
So I think we asked in that episode if he was, like, sitting there watching. So yes, he was.
I wasn't around for that one. So he thought Harry was safe and didn't think that Harry would have gotten to school in a different way. We find out that he let his master's dinner burn because he was shocked that Harry made it to school and he got a flogging.
Sad.
So I said, like, what has his master been saying at home that he would have hear this? Or did Dobby hear this from, like, a different source? So I wonder how he found out that Harry made it to school.
Maybe in letters from Malfoy.
Yeah, I'm talking, sure.
Because he complained about Harry.
I'm sure that Lucius asked.
Okay, if you didn't know, Lucius is his master.
Oh, you're right.
Spoiler.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's
a I'm sure that Draco has written home and been like, God, he's so annoying or something like that. So then that
hoping he would have gotten expelled.
Yeah.
Yes, Tiffany.
I have a question.
Yeah.
About how Dobby knows all this. Okay. So we know that Lucius has.
I just have a theory. That's all. Go on.
Okay. So I know that Lucius has the diary, right? Do you think he's making anybody else? Because I don't think he tells anybody else about the diary. And so I'm thinking of how Dobby knows, like, all this information. Is he just watching Lucius? Is Lucius talking to Narcissa? Malfoy certainly has no clue. I don't think he would make other Death Eaters privy because this is something that, oh, the Dark Lord gave me this. I'm not sharing this information with you. Or he's boasting about it. I want to know.
What do you think, Aiden?
What are your thoughts on
that? I mean, I don't know. I was going to bring up the fact that, like, Hepzibah Smith's house elf overheard stuff between her and Tom Riddle, and no one knew. So, and that's how, like, they got her memory or whatever. So who knows where Dobby was at any point in time if Lucius said anything about it.
Okay, so going back to that, how long has Dobby been their house elf? Was he around when Voldemort gave Malfoy this? Like, did Voldemort go to Malfoy Manor? Like, because he seems like a young house elf, right? But
but at the same point,
not been gone that long.
I have a theory though. I was thinking because he's saying like after he hides and he guards the barrier so they can't get through that he irons his hands. Mm-hmm. So maybe like Lucius wants him to be like, I want you to make sure that you get that he gets to Hogwarts. And so he's trying all these things to get him not to go. So he's disobeying his master. So he's punishing himself because he's disobeying his master.
Ooh, I like that.
You're saying that Lucius is having
Dobby. So Lucius
Dobby.
Is like, telling Dobby to make sure he gets there, but Dobby is pretending like he is to Lucius, but is in turn actually doing the opposite.
But there would be no reason for Harry not to go to Hogwarts.
What I'm saying is he wants, you never know.
There's
no
reason to make sure he gets there if there's no threat of him not going.
But what I'm saying is, what if he just wants to be 1,000% sure? There could be some crazy accident. You never know. You know what I mean?
But nothing's guaranteed. It's specifically meant for Harry, though. I mean, that Harry's not going to be affected by this diary.
Well, it's Voldemort wants him to be.
Muggleborns. No,
but Voldemort doesn't.
Like, no, the intent of the diary is not to open
the chamber.
But it's not to open the chamber. The intent of the diary is as a Horcrux.
But once he finds out, once he realizes that Harry's the one writing him, he goes, I knew I had to, like, meet you. Like, once he realizes he has Harry Potter, like, he forgets about Ginny Weasley. He's like, I'm just going to kill her, get her whatever to become a person, and I really want to talk to you, and I really want... You know what I mean?
That's Voldemort, but Lucius doesn't know what the diary is.
All Lucius knows
is that it opens the Chamber of Secrets. No, Lucius knows that this diary will open the Chamber of Secrets.
Right.
So that is the intent of him getting it in the school. All he knows is that if a child has this diary in the school, it will open the chamber. He doesn't know that it's a Horcrux. He doesn't know that Voldemort would want to talk to Harry or any of that. Mm-hmm. He just knows that it'll open the chamber.
So it wasn't meant to take Harry out.
Yeah. So I don't thinking back now, I don't think that he would care if Harry got there or not because it's already in Ginny's hands. He knows... If anything, he would want to make sure Ginny gets there.
I think he's just trying to do Death Eater. Like,
could be.
Like, let's just F up some muggles.
Mm-hmm. I think that's what it is.
It's just evil for evil's sake. Mm-hmm. Like, opening the chamber and let's
rid
the world.
It's said later on that, like, if Lucius had known that that was a Horcrux, he would have taken much better care of it.
Oh, yeah. It would have never left his hands.
Yeah.
Because and it probably would have led him to believe that obviously there's still a chance that my master can
come back.
Do you think...
It probably would have sent him on a mission to find him.
Yeah.
Totally not off topic, but do you think later on, because Voldemort's like saying all that stuff when he comes back and he's like, you were hiding, had he realized that was a Horcrux and kept it, would he have been in better graces with Voldemort when he
Because he would have
made sure of it.
I don't know if Lucius would have gone to try and find him, because I think he's scared of him.
I think it would have been like a situation.
Oh, now I'll be like his right hand
exactly.
man.
But at the same time, I feel like Lucius was happy that he was gone.
I think yes and no to that.
Yes and no. I think he likes being like
important. He likes being a follower.
Yes.
He likes to be where the power is.
Exactly. But he doesn't want to hold the responsibility of taking all the heat for what happens from the
power. But he kind of has power already, really.
He does, but he doesn't have the negativity associated with it. Like, he's following Voldemort, and he's participating in all these things, but Voldemort's taking the heat for all the deaths and all of that, and he can still be like, oh, well, I'm not a part of that. Mm-hmm. He's, like, sneaky powerful. Mm-hmm.
I give money to the school, and blah, blah, blah.
He's a...
No, what I'm saying is it's like a very cunning...
It is.
Very, like...
Well, it is cunning, yeah.
Manipulative way.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. The bad side of cunning.
The bad side of cunning. I would agree. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Gosh, are y'all sweaty? Because I'm real sweaty.
I'm a little. Yeah.
So, Harry threatens Dobby because he and Ron almost got expelled because of the flying car. And if he had both hands, he might strangle him, is what he says. Dobby tells Harry that he's used to death threats. He gets, I got them 5 times a day at home. That was so bad.
Whoa, try it again.
I get them 5 times a day at home, sir. Sir. So the wizards that he is owned by must be cruel people, and we know they are. And Harry asks why Dobby is wearing that filthy, pathetic pillowcase, and we learn that 'tis a mock of the house elf's enslavement.
Sir?
And to become a free, and to become a free elf, he needs to be presented with clothes from his master. Foreshadowing.
Hello. He even mentions, like, they make sure not even to pass me a sock. Like,
yes.
You know?
Socks.
Mm-hmm. So Dobby tries to get Harry to leave, saying that he had hoped that the rogue bludger would have been enough to hurt him, enough to send him home. And then I'm going to read from Le Chapter. Time I open
you
the
open
book,
it upside down.
I open it like Luna.
It's because it's the way you put it down.
I even turn the book around.
Turn around.
We're sad. Your bludger, said Harry, angry. Rising once more. What do you mean, your bludger? You made the bludger try and kill me? No, not kill you, sir. Never kill you, said Dobby, shocked. Dobby wants to save Harry Potter's life. Better sent home grievously injured than remain here, sir. Dobby only wanted Harry Potter hurt enough to be sent home. Oh, is that all? Said Harry angrily. I don't suppose you're going to tell me why you wanted me sent home in pieces. Ah, if Harry Potter only knew, Dobby groaned, more tears dripping onto his ragged pillowcase. If he knew what he meant to us, to the lowly, the enslaved, we dregs of the magical world, Dobby remembers how it was when he who must not be named was at the height of his power, sir. We house elves were treated like vermin, sir. Of course, Dobby still treated like vermin, he admitted, drying his face on the pillowcase. But mostly, sir, life has improved for my kind since you triumphed over he who must not be named. Harry Potter survived, and the Dark Lord's power was broken. And it is a new dawn, sir, and Harry Potter shone like a beacon of hope for those of us who thought the dark days would never end, sir. And now, at Hogwarts, terrible things are to happen, are perhaps happening already, and Dobby cannot let Harry Potter stay here now that the history is to repeat itself, now that the Chamber of Secrets has opened once more. Dobby froze, horror-struck, then grabbed Harry Potter's water jug from his bedside table and cracked it over his own head, toppling out of sight. A second later, he crawled back onto the bed, cross-eyed, muttering, "Bad Dobby. Very bad Dobby." "So there is a Chamber of Secrets," Harry Potter whispered. "And did you say it's been opened before? Tell me, Dobby." And then he basically was like, you know, I'm not a muggle-born.
So that kind of gives us a little bit of perspective of how old Dobby, I mean, at minimum, is. He's at least in his 50s.
And didn't we ask before, like, how old or how long house elves live?
Yeah, I don't know.
I was going to say.
A really long time.
Like,
over 100 for sure.
Like, goblins look super old, even when they're not.
Well, think about the house elves for the Black family. Like,
yeah.
And all their heads are on the wall. Like, I wonder how old they are.
How old is Creature?
Creature is a million years old.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Like, I think he was that old, like, when Sirius was young.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, I agree.
So Harry tries to get, like, the information out of Dobby, being like, who opened it? Because he wants to know, because he's trying to be like, And Dobby's like, no, you have to go home. And he's like, I'm not going anywhere. One of my best friends is Muggleborn, and she'll be the first in line if the chamber really has been open. And then he's like, you're so noble, you're so valiant, because you're risking your own life to save your friends. And so there are dark deeds that are in place to happen, and Dobby really wants Harry far away from them.
Dark deeds.
So he's still trying to get the information out. They hear footsteps outside the hospital wing, and Dobby's like, I'm out.
Bye.
Crack. So Dumbledore comes backing into the room, carrying one end of something that looked like a large statue. Another student has been petrified. We hear Hermione. Oh my gosh. We hear McGonagall tell Pomfrey that she thinks the student was going to see Potter. Harry is sick to his stomach when he realizes it's probably Colin Creevy. So he tries to look without really being noticed that he's awake, and his suspicions are confirmed that Colin has been petrified. And they try to see, because he's got his camera in his hand, if they took a picture. If he took a picture of whomever petrified him.
These were your hands. You were like crab claws.
So they open his camera up, and everything is melted. So Dumbledore confirms to those in the room that the Chamber of Secrets is indeed opened again. So does he know,
And he says again.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So that straight up confirms.
Correct.
Yep. He knows.
But does
stuff. And that there's a chamber.
Do you think that he knows that Harry is awake and is listening to every word?
Probably.
Ooh.
And then do you think that he knows who the person is who's behind all of the drama?
Drama.
I don't know if Dumbledore knows quite yet.
Doesn't he say same person as last time at the end of the at the end of the book. So
he knows that it's clearly
Voldemort. It's gotta be Voldemort, but maybe he's not sure how.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. I can dig it. So that was kind of a good lightning bolt question to lead into the round.
Well, because this is what he says. The question is not who, said Dumbledore, his eyes on Colin. Mm-hmm. The question is how.
Because he knows who.
Yeah.
Do you think? I mean, they've got to know last time that it was Voldemort.
No, they think it's, I think Dumbledore's the only one.
Oh,
they think it was Hagrid.
Yeah. Hagrid, yeah, you're right.
He's the only one that's like, because he knew from jump that it was Hagrid.
So maybe... Do you think the teachers actually think it's Hagrid, or...
I think it depends on which one.
So, when Dumbledore says it's not a question of who, maybe they're like, oh, Dumbledore thinks it's Hagrid, but he defends Hagrid.
Yes.
So that just confuses me a bit.
But I think that... I bet you that each teacher has their own...
He doesn't really care what they think.
Yes.
Because he knows, so he's like, I don't really care what you
think. Like, I'm sure Lockhart's like... Yeah, it's Hagrid, because doesn't he say that later on?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then...
He's like, I knew it all along.
Like, Snape probably is thinking, like, it's not Hagrid. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, depending on the teacher.
I don't know about McGonagall, though.
I was thinking the same thing.
She doesn't exactly trust Hagrid,
until later on.
Right. And so maybe she's questioning it, but... I don't know. Mm. I don't know.
Things to think about.
Any more? So we've got our lightning bolt round that we are already into.
I think I had a question and I don't remember what it was.
Would you have asked for an inquiry?
Yeah.
In the Quidditch game?
I probably would have played.
Not with their rules? No.
Not with their rules.
I would have played.
I would have played.
Not forfeit into Slytherin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Too much pride.
As my other half Gryffindor would say.
Uh-huh. I'm very conflicted. I'm Gryffindor and Slytherin.
Yeah, what's wrong with you?
Mm-hmm.
Your Christmas.
Y'all want to be in my house.
Slytherin door.
I don't know what I am. Ravenclaw plus another house.
Oh, man.
Ooh.
Go ahead.
Can you guys on the fly do a poem about the Wagga werewolf?
I don't know enough.
I'd have to think for a second.
I'd have to read his collective works.
We could just start talking about a werewolf. Werewolf, what you gonna do?
What you gonna do?
What you gonna do when I say, oh?
Oh, Lord. No, I'm not good like that. I'm not good on the fly. You're good on the fly. Why don't you?
I don't know if I'm that good. Because it comes from the heart. You know what I mean? My heart's not in it.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, well, this is probably a question for another day. Oh. But what color do you think your Polyjuice potion would turn into?
Oh. Ooh, like if you put a bit of me in there?
Purple.
Oh.
because it's my favorite color. Stop howling at my dog.
Do you think,
I want to move.
Do you think it turns into your favorite color? Or do you think it just turns into like, what if it turns into like a nice color if you're a nice person or like a gross color if you're a gross person?
It's true.
Or because like, Hermione says, oh, Harry, you look much tastier than Crabbe and Goyle.
True.
But like, I wonder, like, does it depend on like what you eat?
Ooh, also, what if you like, what if I voluntarily give you my hair? I wonder.
I'm sorry, what word?
Voluntarily?
You did not say that, but go on.
What did I say?
Voluntarily?
Words are diagonally.
I'm pregnant.
Two halves make a whole.
That's my excuse for everything. I'm pregnant. What if I voluntarily give you my hair? I wonder if that changes the taste and the color or, you know, whatever.
Things to think about.
What would your... Okay, what color would it be and what would it taste like?
What would you hope it tastes like? Sunshine. Okay, and daisy.
So no, what do you...
Butts
what
and
would,
mellows.
What would you hope it tastes like? I think mine would taste like pot roast because it's like my favorite thing right now. Or Chipotle's green salsa.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my god.
Mine would probably taste like coffee, maybe.
Ooh. I would drink you.
That's so weird. Probably coffee or like vodka. Vodka. Which really, I mean, just kind of burns. Like scallop growth.
I think mine would be like orange or yellow.
Okay.
And it would taste like pizza.
I think mine would be blue. It's not my favorite color, but yeah. I feel like that's the color it would be.
Mine would be green.
What it would taste like
evil.
It would taste like ambition.
I was going to say mac and cheese.
You are creepy today.
Are you calling creepy? Gosh.
It would probably taste like mac and cheese.
Fozzie is demanding chin scratches.
What would you
Fozzie's
do?
Fozzie's demanding that we finish this episode and go get lunch because I am starving.
What would you do if you were Harry and you wanted to strangle Dobby?
I would strangle him.
Would you just take your arm and go, whoosh, like slap it, like free slap?
I could
I
slap Dobby.
So
honestly,
mad.
No, but if I woke up and he was like sponging my forehead him. And staring me in the face, I would have. He would have been off me. Like my reaction would be to like,
yeah,
shove. Like, I don't. I wouldn't have realized it was him fast enough. I would have been like, get it off. And then I would have been like, oh, come on back. Sorry.
Let me think of other questions I might have for you. What would you have said to Hermione? Like, I would think I'd be so mad. Like, if I was Harry and I have no bones in my arm and she's still defending him.
Oh, I would like have win.
A real conversation. Like, I would be so much angrier than they are.
I mean, she I think was I would like, have taken the Ron approach.
She was like, he can make a mistake. Anybody can make
been
a
like,
mistake.
He's,
his whole life is a mistake.
He's dumb. Like, he's stupid. And I can't believe. I'd be like, I can't believe
you're smarter
that
than this.
You're not seeing that. And I would be like, I'm very disappointed in you. And ooh. Then I would walk away.
Ooh. 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 Mm. Yeah, I would be very angry. I'd be like, y'all need to get over yourself. Because
be like,
he's dumb.
Lose your crush, lady.
Honest to God.
Okay.
You're going to get one back with Victor Crumb.
Her crush Bulgarian, got that
in the book, so. Bulgarian. Bulgarian bonbon.
Bulgarian. He's vulgar.
Right.
Any more lightning?
Oh, I did have a question.
Do it.
So do you think that since Dobby was in Hogwarts to talk to Harry at night.
Ooh.
Where,
I think I know where you're
where
going.
Where was he, like, during the whole Bludger incident? Like, do you think he was, like, there, hiding in the stands?
I think he apparated into the kitchens because he knows, like, that's where the house elves are.
But, like, where do you think he was?
And then, no, I think he, like, hid.
Like, in the stands?
Yeah.
Okay.
For sure.
Okay.
Maybe not, up with the kids, but maybe, like,
down the bottom.
Down below or, like, in the rafters somewhere. You know how, like, they have the
Well,
the
and do
the
you
poles?
Think that, because it was raining and everything, do they have, like, better sight?
What?
Because if he's down on the rafters and he's looking up and they're so high and it's raining and Harry can't even see with his glasses and everything because the weather's so bad and he's got to keep his eye on Harry and there's however many players and balls flowing around.
Well, is there like some kind of charm around the pitch to make it easier for the fans to see or do they have sucky sight too? Mm.
I would think that if they don't do it against the
players. I don't know. He's using elf magic and he can see it all.
Can he be invisible with his elf magic?
Ooh. I don't know.
Probably.
I mean, where was he hiding at the platform?
Mm-hmm.
I bet he can.
Now, do you think muggles can see them? Because they don't see ghosts and dementors and stuff.
Some people see ghosts.
I mean, yeah, but like, I feel like you have to be sensitive to that stuff. Like, in real life, too, in real time life.
Real time.
Not everybody believes in ghosts.
That's true.
And I think that you have to be receptive to that. And not
well,
everybody's
what about
receptive
the, well,
to
the receptive muggles, maybe. I don't know. Maybe they, but or maybe he's muggles, they don't see nothing, do they? So maybe it's in front of their faces, but they're, maybe they're like, what? And then it's gone. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Makes you think when that happens to you, is that like a magical being?
Oh my God.
100%.
I often think I see cats out of the corner of my eye, but I maybe might just be obsessed cats. With cats.
I think I see dead people. No jokes, like not pun intended or whatever, because they say that in the movie.
Yeah. We get you. She's sensitive.
I feel like there's another question I wanted to ask you guys, and I don't remember what it was.
Hey, tell me what your dog hair is doing in my coffee cup.
I have a question.
Go ahead and ask the question.
Katie, what's the fan story for this week?
There it is.
I hate everything about you.
I hate everything about you.
Why? Why do I love you?
No,
that's the extra part. That's the next line.
Yeah, I know.
Line. Oh, okay.
I'm awkward turtling it. Go, Katie. Go.
So this week's fan story comes from Mikey Sadler. Sadler? I'm sorry that I butchered that.
They know we can't read.
So, well, let's see. I was introduced to Harry Potter by my aunt. She gave me the first two books for Christmas, and I couldn't stop reading them. And over the years, I've collected and read them all. Even Cursed Child. Sorry, Tiff.
Whoa. Do I hate it that much?
I don't know. I relate the most to the Lovegoods because it's just me and my daughter, and her mom is not with us. I even call my daughter my little Luna. Aww. They are unique and rare people, and that describes me and my daughter. I even bought her Luna's wand. She's three, by the way.
Shut the front door.
This world has helped me escape from dark parts of my life, and listening to y'all keeps my love growing. Thank you. P.S. Go Slytherin.
Aww.
Woo-woo. That is so sweet.
Thank you That's so much so for your sweet. Story.
Little Luna.
Little Luna.
He's very active in the Facebook group, yes. too, and I always love everything that he posts.
Tell your little
and
Luna.
And actually, we got, let's do this now, because we just read his story. We got mail from him.
Oh,
at our
really? I didn't even do that on purpose.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. So I'm going to open one.
More than one mail?
Yeah, we got two.
Envelope sounds.
Let's switch. This is yours.
Yes!
All right!
So he was posting in the Facebook group that he awesome. Was making these decals. And he sent me a decal for my car that says my other ride is a Firebolt.
It looks so awesome. Good. It looks so good.
And mine says future Gryffindor on board, and it has a sorting hat.
That so is cute.
Awesome.
So, it's so cute.
And I'm going to get a new car, so that will go on the window.
That's what? Perfect.
I'm
thank
putting
you.
This on my car.
That's
stat.
Awesome.
Thank you so much.
Much.
Yes.
Mikey?
Thank you, Mikey.
Gosh. I love our listeners.
Me too. You guys are all awesome.
All right. Okay, social media time, lady.
All right, speaking of our Facebook group, make sure that you go over to it and join so that you can jump in on the discussions. We love chatting with everybody on there. So like our page to get all of the latest updates and info. We are Swish and Flick Podcast on Facebook or Swish Flick Cast on Twitter and Instagram. You can also join us on Patreon for lots of exclusive content.
Do it.
We have different levels of support, so our Bow Truckle and higher patrons get access to the Felix Files, which is a bi-monthly podcast specifically for Patreon. And then also, if you are a Phoenix level patron, you get to join us for a monthly Google Hangout, which is just like a group video chat. Then we talk about upcoming things that we're doing. We ask them their opinions on stuff.
We eat
they
food.
Get
we eat food.
Mm-hmm. Some behind the scenes of Swish and Flick shenanigans. And it's always really fun.
Shenanigans.
They also get to be a guest on the Felix Files. So if any of that sounds fun, make sure that you head on over to patreon.com/swishflickcast and choose your support level. It helps us to be able to afford equipment to make the podcast better and monthly fees to keep it going.
Tis true. All right, guys. That concludes this week's episode. Thank you so much for listening, and don't let the muggles get you down.
Amazing! Just my voice!
Now let's go get lunch.
Woo!
Hello and welcome to episode 33 of Swish and Flick.
I'm Tiffany.
I'm Megan. I'm Katie. And I'm Sarah.
We're not girls, we're women.
Let's do this. Record. Yes, sir. Let's record.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.